Do you believe the Bible? As disciples, we believe the Bible. Yes. Disciples say, I am a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I believe that the Bible is true. What does it mean that something is true? Truth is that which is reality for a person who believes it's true. Many believe that is the definition of truth. This is how many Christians today live their lives. They believe the Bible is true for the person who believes it's true. But if someone does not see that same truth, they see, okay, because God is big enough to accept everyone. Sure. Sounds nice. Now, if the issue is something like eating meat sacrificed to idols, that's legitimate. Scripture does even make that clear. Scripture says, Romans 14:3, let no one judge him who eats, despise him who does not eat. And let not him who does not eat judge him who eats. Why? For God has received him. Whether you do it this way or whether you do it that way, God receives both. That kind of thinking, when applied to truth, is being applied across the board to every issue, like issues of human sexuality, issues that are clearly laid out and defined in the Ten Commandments. These issues are true. Scripture makes it clear, and so should we. God does not look at truth in relative terms. From God's perspective, truth is reality as defined by Him, regardless of what you think or what you feel or what you believe. In other words, God's truth is an objective reality that is defined only by Him. And because it is defined by Him, it is, in fact, true for everyone. Disciples believe that God's Word is true. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your Word is truth. All Christians believe the Scriptures are true. In America, that's been stated by many denominations. We believe the Bible. But they don't believe the Bible is true as in objective truth. So that's why we've chosen to pick on this doctrine called the sufficiency of Scripture. The sufficiency of Scripture is just another way of saying that the truth matters. We believe that the truth matters. It's not just your truth or my truth. No, it's truth. And truth matters. See, in what way does it matter? And for the answer, I'm going to invite you to turn to Proverbs chapter 9. The invitation to truth. To wisdom. Proverbs chapter 9. And in Proverbs chapter 9, we see there are always two perspectives to this issue of truth. There always has been, from the fall on, and until Jesus comes, there always will be. Two issues to truth. Two ways. Two calls. There's two pleadings. Madam Wisdom and Madam Folly. Madam Wisdom, she makes her plea. And she makes her plea in a very similar way that Madam Folly makes her plea. She makes her plea to the passerbys, those who are walking just through the road of life, called the simpleton, the simple one, the young person who's walking down the path of life. So in this room, the path of life could be the center aisle here. Walking down the center aisle. Walking down the path of life. In our culture, it would be walking through life. It would be surfing the internet. It would be listening to the radio station. It would be talking to other people. Madam Wisdom and Madam Folly both are making a plea for you to give them your heart, to give them your attention, to give them your discipleship. What is a disciple after all? A disciple is a learner. What are you learning? Wisdom wants you to learn from her. Folly wants you to learn from her. And there's a center point. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 1. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. So she has prepared her house. She is secure. She is strong. She is established. She can satisfy. She has the goods. Wisdom calls out in this personification. She has sent forth her maidens, and they're running ahead. They're going into the highest places. She cries out from the highest places in the city. She goes out where people intersect. She goes to the highways and the byways. She goes to the center square. Her maidens go out. They go out online. They go out on social media. They go out all over. All over where people are congregating. And here is what they say. Oh, simpleton, simpleton, come in here. You who lack understanding, come in here. Now let's see, who wants to be the simpleton this morning? I need a volunteer. Andrew, okay. Andrew, oh, stop. Slow. Go slow. You're in the right spot. So you just walk slowly. Oh, simpleton, come in here. Come in here. You who lack wisdom, I will give you understanding. I will give you wisdom. And as the simpleton walks down, he comes here and he has to make a choice. Will he go this way or will he go that way? Which way will you choose? Wisdom or folly? You think about that and go sit down. I'll call you back in a moment. You did a great job. She's calling for the simpleton. Again, a simpleton is a naive person or someone who's not firm in their convictions. Right? What is a scoffer? No. A scoffer will not listen to rebuke. So the scoffers are like, shut down. I don't want to hear it. That's a scoffer. Okay. A simpleton is, well, yeah, I don't know. I'm kind of open, not sure. They're open, but they're not wise. They're not a wise person. The simpleton is not a wise person. They're a young person. They're someone who's open. Okay. So wisdom is calling out whoever is simple, whoever. Let him what? Let him turn. Let him turn in here. Wisdom is trying to get the simpleton off the broad path. Because the simpleton is always following the broad path. That's why he or she lacks wisdom. They're on the broad path. Just counting their options. Just looking at shiny things. Just not able to see the meaning and the purpose of things. Caught up in the dazzle of it all. Walking the broad path, calling, turn in here, turn in here, turn in here. I have the goods. I can satisfy you. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him, come, eat of my bread and drink of my wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and come in the way of understanding. Come in the way of understanding. Forsake foolishness and live. I will satisfy you. I will give you what you need. You need understanding. You need wisdom. You need truth. Madam Wisdom makes her appeal. Look down to verse 13. Madam Folly. A foolish woman is clamorous. She herself is simple. She knows nothing. And she too goes to the door of her house on a seat by the highest places of the city. So just like Madam Wisdom goes to the key places of the city, Madam Folly goes to the key places of the city. She's online. She's with her friends. She's in the marketplace. And she calls out to you as well. She calls out to the one who's on the broad path. And she uses the same words as Madam Wisdom. Look at the words. Look at the parallel between verse 3 and verse 16. They make the same call. Andrew, let's try it again. Here comes our simpleton. Dun, 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 dun. He's down the broad path. And Madam Wisdom is calling out, and this, come to me. Come to me. You who, hey, I can satisfy you. Come, turn here. Turn here. Turn here. Don't make the turn yet. Turn here. Just stay right there. Right? Turn here. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And for him who lacks understanding. You lack understanding? But she says something very different. Look what she says. Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. I can give you what you need. I can make you feel very good about yourself. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Sit down. I'll call you in a minute. Stolen water is sweet. There is a difference. At one level, they're the same, aren't they? Verse 4 and verse 16. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says. But upon closer examination, they both say they will satisfy you. Now let me ask you, how many people here want to be satisfied? Everybody raise your hand. Okay. We're all people. And as people, God made us needy. Newsflash. Right? And both Wisdom and Folly make their appeal to the needs that we have. God and Satan make their appeal to the needs that we have. And they both appeal in one way in a similar fashion. I'll meet your needs. How many other ways can you say it? I'll meet your needs. How many other ways can you say it? Well, you can say that a lot of ways, can't you? You can make a whole video. You could make a whole movie about the benefits of following folly, can't you? How many here have ever seen a movie about the benefits of going after folly? Most of the movies produced. Right? I mean, I'm not going to reference a specific one. But let's say there's a movie about a guy who has an affair and they're so happy now they're in love. Right? You think there's any movie like that? Like, a gazillion, right? They don't talk about the horror of hell's fire that they endure forever because they refuse to repent. Do they? They don't talk about the destruction of the divorce that they went through to start that affair. They don't talk about the broken homes and the brokenness. They're not even honest with what happened. So there are many different ways that Madam Wisdom and Madam Folly package their offer to satisfy you. Both of them say we can satisfy you. Both of them make this appeal. But if you look upon closer examination, there's some differences. Wisdom says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Wisdom has built her house. Folly doesn't have a house. Wisdom has hewn out her seven pillars. A seven-pillared house would be a secure, strong house, able to stand. Wisdom has slaughtered her meat. She's done the work. She has the goods. She has furnished her table. She can actually feed you. Come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. You must turn from the way of folly. You must forsake foolishness, and you will live as you go in the way of understanding. Folly talks about bread. Folly talks about water. But she doesn't have any bread. And she doesn't have any water. Not like wisdom. So what does she offer? Stolen. It's a fraud. She offered stolen water. Stolen water. What is stolen water? And bread eaten in secret? That which satisfies you? That which is going to sustain you? Secret. Why is it in secret? Because it doesn't satisfy. There's an allurement. There's a bait. And all she has is a bait. And when you bite into the bait, it's exhilarating. Stolen. And secret. There's certainly a sexual provocativeness there. Scripture uses bread, water, secrets in that way, in some contexts. So come. She's seducing. She's trying to seduce the simpleton. Wisdom does not seduce the simpleton. Wisdom says, I have the goods. Come. Folly has to say, I can satisfy you too. But she can't. That doesn't stop her. She goes right after what? Right after the heart of it. I can do this. It's good for you. It'll make you feel happy. Stolen water is sweet. And bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Okay, Mr. Simpleton. Now stop right there. He's down the road. Now listen, here it is. Verses 1 to 6 is Madam Wisdom. Verses 13 to 17 is Madam Folly. What's in the center section? What's in the center section determines the path that you'll choose. The center section is the signpost. It's the signpost that every individual faces. It's the signpost that is the determining factor on whether you will choose Madam Wisdom's way or Madam Folly's way. And as you walk down the path of life, you will notice in your life, there are times when you will come into contact with the truth, and the truth will correct you. Has there been anyone in your life who's ever sought to correct you? Andrew, come on, we got to go this way. Have you ever been corrected by the truth? Okay, now as you walk, as you get corrected by the truth, the way you respond to truth in the correction is determinative on the choice you'll make. So here's some truth. Here's some truth. How will you respond to truth? How will you respond to correction? What's the text say? Read it for me. My Bible's up there. 7. The verse I'm on. There it is. So rebuke is gone out. Madam Wisdom, Madam Folly. The rebuke comes out. If you rebuke a wise man, he's going to love you. Right? When you rebuke a foolish person, what do? Don't talk to me anymore. Right? Cut you off. How do you respond to correction? How do you respond to correction? How do you respond to correction? Well, don't talk to me that way, or I don't want to hear that. I'm running from you. I am going to cut you off and run. Or, thank you for sharing that. I haven't considered that perspective before. You know, I'll thank you. I'm going to love you. Thank you for sharing that with me, right? Hatred versus love. So on the path of life, you're going to get corrected, right? We're walking down, you're going to get corrected. And that's going to set you up for the center stage. Stop right there. What determines the course of your life is the next verse. 18, what's the next verse? There it is. So the fear of the Lord. There it is again. What is the fear of the Lord? To fear God. Scripture. God's Word. God's truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. This is the signpost. God's Word. That's it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And knowledge of the holy is understanding. So as you know God, as you know God's Word, as you know that God is holy, God is not like you and me. He is set apart. He is morally perfect. He is beautiful. He is consistent. He is holy. And correction goes out into your life. And the way in which you respond to correction will determine the choices that you will make as Madam Wisdom and Madam Folly both tug at your hearts. Both make their appeal to you. One to the flesh, one to the spirit. But they make their appeal nonetheless, and they are everywhere. And every culture and every generation has them. And as you come down the path of life, you are at a crossroads. And the crossroads is, will you accept the correction of Scripture in your life and choose to go the way of wisdom, or will you reject the correction of truth and Scripture in your life and go the way of folly? Let's see which way Andrew picks. Let's pray for him. You can make the choice now. All right. Okay, who's next? Who wants to do it next? We need another volunteer. Who wants to go next? Line up. Come on, just walk it down. Let's just have people walking down. Okay, 18. You can go, Malachi. You can go. I saw you. What are you going to choose? Amen. What are you going to choose? Now, see, he's thinking about it. See, he had to see that. Now, that's what you do, isn't it? What are you going to choose? Now, what are you going to choose in the middle of a church service? Right? Sorry. Allergies aren't done yet. Do you see the picture? Your view of Scripture is what you choose. That's what you believe about Scripture. And what you believe about Scripture is how you is evidenced by how you respond to correction in your life. The correction of God's Word right now from the pulpit being preached to you. Preaching. The way of truth being communicated through relationships. Through friendships. Through parents. Through brothers and sisters. Through siblings. Through brothers and sisters in Christ. Right? How do you respond to correction? Do you love those who correct you? Or do you get irritated with them and cut them off? He who corrects a scoffer gets shame for himself, and he who rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer, lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. Here's the signpost. Bam! Right there. The fear of Yahweh. This is the beginning of skillful living. Wisdom. And the knowledge of God, the Holy One. That's what gives you the ability to understand. That's what gives you the ability to see through with X-ray vision. The discernment between Madam Wisdom and Madam Folly. Do you have that kind of discernment? Can you discern all of the different voices, media, movies, music, that are communicating always one of two messages? The way of wisdom to God based in the fear of the Lord, a biblical worldview, or the way of folly. Selfish, self-glorification, stolen water, bread eaten in secret, an antithetical, an unbiblical worldview that is against the Lord, that rejects the fear of the Lord, that breaks the Ten Commandments. Blasphemes God's name, does not yield to God's principles, does not worship God, talks about all kind of sexual immorality, or shows it on the screen, or sings about it. Have no fellowship with the works of darkness. None. That's the path of folly. That's the path of foolishness. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of this knowledge. But the signpost goes on. That's the path of life. The path of life matters. And this is where the sufficiency of Scripture is all is illustrated. It's verse 11. This matters. Truth matters. Your choices matters. Your life matters. And it matters whether you walk in wisdom or whether you walk in folly. Because, as Scripture says, poetically here, "For by me your days will be multiplied and years of your life will be added to you." For by wisdom, there will be blessings in your life. Length of life. Now, we can take that on into the New Testament where Jesus makes very clear eternal life. There are eternal consequences for how you choose to live your life. Eternal consequences. This is a matter of life and death. This is a matter ultimately of heaven and of hell. Truth matters because God said it does. Now, if Madam Folly had the final word, she would be sovereign. She would be the judge. But does Madame Folly have the final word? Who has the final word? God has the final word. And His final word will stand for you for eternity. Do you understand that? Well, I don't really think much about eternity. I kind of just live one day at a time. Well, that's folly. Right? That would be folly. That would be either a simpleton or folly. And if you're hardened in it, you could be a scoffer. Do not rebuke a scoffer unless he hates you. Rebuke a wise man, he'll love you. Thank you for showing me that. I needed to hear that, right? That's a Christian's response. Thank you. I need to be reminded of eternity, right? I need to be reminded that there's a bigger picture. I know it looks like the whole world is prospering in their success. It looks like the whole world is just having a grand time, living their best life now. With the advent of the internet, we have the opportunity to hear the testimonies of Christians who are being seduced by the spirit of this age. Testimony after testimony, how as they turn from God and God gives them over in a Romans 1 fashion to defile their bodies, lesbian, homosexuality, all this stuff. They're all claiming to be Christians. Many of the top leading Christian evangelical writers, women, they've been divorced. They are now embracing LGBTQ++ nonsense, right? Well, we have the opportunity to hear them. You can look at them. They're very popular, and they're speaking in their podcasts, and they're saying how wonderful their life is. I have the goods. I am finally free. I am finally free to embrace who I am, and the fire within me is now burning freely. You have to x-ray that. You have to be able to see through that and see that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. As God gives them over to embrace Madame Folly, they're exhilarated. How many know what I'm talking about? Right? We see it every day. I see it every day. I hear it every day. And there's a reason for that. It's the last verse. Look at the last verse. Verse 17, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant, but he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. Now look it. The simpleton doesn't know it. And Madame Folly doesn't acknowledge it. Look what Madame Folly is. Madame Folly is deceived. Look at 9:13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple. She knows nothing. And so she who knows nothing is being seduced by her feelings, making this emotional appeal, doesn't have any of the goods to actually satisfy, gets many people. The simpleton comes down. Let's have Andrew. Where's Andrew? He left us. Okay, Levi, you're next. Now you're going to have to be the bad guy this time. Now hang on. You're going to have to make the choice to the folly. Now look, now listen to what this says. He does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of hell. So as you walk this path, what no one sees is as you come down here, it's really fun at first. And then you drop dead. Can you do that for us? He's all excited. Look at him. Oh, we're all excited. Yay, yay, yay. And then he's out of sight. And then the next... You did that wrong. Stay there. And then the next person comes. Who's going to do it next? And then the next person comes. Oh, come to me. I can meet all your needs. You will be happy and healthy and wise and satisfied. Yay! Everybody, yay! Everybody clapping, right? Yay! Fall, right? And then the next person. Okay, we can stop there. I think you got the point. You guys did great. That is what's happening. That is what's happening. and families are being torn apart, and marriages are being torn apart. And as being torn apart, they're going on Oprah, and they're just wildly celebrating. Wildly celebrating. I get emotional over this verse, because it means a lot to me. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you'll bear it alone. What is the prize of wisdom? Wisdom. If you're wise, you're wise for yourself. You understand, as you walk through as a simpleton and you see the fear of the Lord and you begin to choose wisdom, you understand if you're wise, that wisdom is for yourself. What is the prize of wisdom? Wisdom. You have wisdom. You have X-ray vision. You can see through the folly and the foolishness, and you get to walk in wisdom. And the more you walk in wisdom, the more you walk in wisdom, because you're eating from the table of Christ. He's prepared the table. He's given us eternal life. And as you make choices that reflect wisdom, what do you want more of? You want more wisdom. The reward for wisdom is wisdom. And if you instruct a wise person, what does he become? He becomes still wiser. Because we're still growing in wisdom. And the more you walk in wisdom, the more you part from the ways of folly. And the more reward there is. With persecution, with difficulties, with trials. Not saying it's an easy road. But the reward for wisdom is wisdom. Living life according to God's Word and God's design and God's truth in your heart, in your soul, rewarded by God. And in the end, eternal life. It doesn't get any better than eternal life. In this world, we have trials and tribulations. Yes. But with wisdom, God goes with us in all these ways. So as we gather here on this first day of the week, we're gathering to break bread. This is the beauty of wisdom. God prepares a feast before us. The fellowship, the blessing, the knowledge of God. If you are wise, you're wise for yourself, and that is the sweetest fruit. But if you scoff, if you say no to the fear of the Lord, if you scoff and say, I am not going to be corrected. I think I'm going to go this way. Even though you may make your confession in wisdom, it's the path of your feet, it's the choices that you make, it's the media that you consume, it's the way your heart is directing you. If you scoff, you will bear the consequences of that scoffing, and you'll bear it alone. There are consequences for wisdom, and there are consequences for scoffing at wisdom. And at this point in my life, after 20 years of full-time ministry, I probably could talk for the rest of my life on the stories that I know. And they are both beautiful stories of redemption and wisdom and horrific stories of families, of individuals that have scoffed and mocked and gone off the deep end and fallen into oblivion. That's why this is a very emotional passage for me. All I can do is encourage you. Get wisdom. Follow God. Don't flirt with evil. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. And if you scoff, you alone, see, it's in the text there, you will bear the consequences of your folly alone. And if you keep rejecting, Proverbs 1 says, there will be no way out. You will be given over to judgment in this world and in the next. I don't want that for my worst enemy. I certainly don't want that for you. Whoever is simple, let him turn and hear. as for him who lacks understanding. Come to wisdom. This is the invitation. Truth matters. Your choices matter. Your life matters. Children, you matter. Your life matters. And if you haven't noticed, the devil has his eyes on you. We know Disney has their eyes on you. They're coming out with that, right? We want your children. We want to pervert your children. God has his eyes on you too. And God's giving you everything that you need to follow him. Do you believe in truth? Not just by your confession, but by the choices that you make in your life to constantly choose wisdom, choose wisdom, choose wisdom. That is my prayer for you from Proverbs chapter 9. Let's pray.